Monty.
Is it time? Let's do this.
It's time for Real Golf Radio, the longest-running nationally syndicated golf show in the country, with insights and experience of professional golfer Bob Casper, son of Hall of Famer Billy Casper, and the passion and, fun
hey.
Of Brian Taylor.
Nice.
Getting you ready for the weekend in golf for 19 years. Now that's real. Here they are, the hosts of Real Golf Radio, Brian and Bob.
And good morning and welcome to Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper with you. Thanks for joining us. The website is realgolfradio.com. Twitter handle, @RealGolf. And we appreciate you taking some time to be with us this week. Talking golf with you for nearly 20 years and excited to get into that 20th year coming up in 2019. Old 1999, Bob. Do
there
you remember
go.
All the way back then?
I do.
It's amazing how fast time can fly. We're going to have some fun today. Courtesy of the phone company and the construction going on around our studio, we have no ability to bring our guests on live that
That's
we had
right.
scheduled. So we're at a bit of a, this is what you call impromptu.
It is impromptu, yes.
we're going to have to just do a mulligan, if you will, and figure it out. But next week's show, I can tell you, will be really good. We had planned this morning to visit with Johnny Miller.
Yes.
Who announced his retirement from golf broadcasting this week. And that's big news. Johnny has been a good friend of ours. I know, Bob, he's certainly of your family. You grew up and your dad was a big part of how Johnny got out on the PGA Tour and really took him under his wing and helped him out there. And you guys were probably, as long as you can remember, we're close friends with the Millers.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been... Yeah, I mean, he ended up purchasing my parents' home here in Utah, living next door to us for a while. Grown up, know his kids, all that kind of fun stuff. So, yeah, it's our family's been pretty close for a long time.
So to hear him make that announcement, we'll talk about that, what that means. Johnny, for all that Johnny did, he certainly was a bit polarizing in the booth. There were those that just absolutely thought he was the best golf commentator
right.
ever, and there were certainly those that thought he was the absolute worst.
There were a lot of players that didn't like some of his comments because he was a guy that let you have it.
Called it out when it needed to
yep.
be called out. We'll
That's
talk
right.
about that and look back on Johnny's legacy in the booth. Stay tuned. Hey, what does it take to be the number one irons in golf? Well, if you ask the engineers at Callaway, they'll tell you one thing, innovation. And they would know because Callaway's Face Cup technology has made them the number one irons in golf. The Face Cup technology that makes their irons tremendously powerful actually came from their fairway woods and hybrids, which incidentally, those fairway woods and hybrids continue to outperform the competition. Face Cups dramatically increase ball speed across the face, and the second Callaway started engineering irons with Face Cups, everything changed. Golfers started seeing tremendous gains in distance and forgiveness, and of course, the engineers at Callaway keep on innovating. Steelhead, Big Bertha, and Apex irons are all powered by Callaway's game-changing Face Cup technology, and they've all made Callaway the number one irons in golf. To learn more about the technology behind the number one irons in golf, go to CallawayGolf.com. Callaway, the number one irons in golf.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicholas agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
What happens when our most epic driver technology goes rogue? You set the new bar in speed. Then you set it in forgiveness. This is the new jailbreak. It's our fastest driver technology, and now it's in our most forgiving head. That's how you get the most powerful jailbreak effect ever. The new Rogue Driver from Callaway, the number one driver in golf.
So you've thought about LASIK surgery, but you're hesitant. I get it. It's your eyes, and while it's a hassle to deal with contacts and glasses, the thought of a laser in your eye sounds painful and scary. Well, let me tell you, I had the same feelings until I went to Hoops Vision for my free evaluation. I was super impressed with the time they spent, and they put all my concerns to rest. I left excited and confident knowing that I was in the best hands with the latest technology. The day of the surgery was easy. No pain, comfortable massage chairs, and warm chocolate chip cookies to help me relax. And then the miracle. Within a few minutes, I could see. It's an amazing feeling, and now I can see where my golf ball goes, and I enjoy wearing sunglasses and not dealing with contacts that dry up out in the sun and the wind. It's why major champions like Mike Weir chose Hoops Vision. Hoops Vision is world-renowned, and with new techniques such as smile and camera, there are more options than ever before. Visit HoopsVision.com today and schedule your free consultation. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you could save $1,000 off your procedure. More choices, more experience, better vision at Hoops Vision.
Now back to Real Golf Radio with Brian and Bob.
Hey, welcome back in. Real Golf Radio. Brian and Bob with you. Thanks for joining us. Hit us up on Twitter, at Real Golf. Give us your thoughts and takes. Love to hear from you there. You can also go to our website at realgolfradio.com. This segment brought to you by Callaway Golf. Check out their new MD4 Tactical Wedges. That was one of the other interviews
tactical?
We were going to do. Yeah, tactical. Yeah, they got sort of a unique finish to them.
There you go.
Really cool.
Kind of cool looking,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, limited edition.
Yeah.
Of course, it's got that same, you know, MD4. It's the same MD4, just a, kind of a different finish and look to it, which is, you know, look, when you get into wedges and putters, those scoring clubs, you can really personalize and customize and and just kind of have some fun with them, you know?
Right.
Drivers, they've been able to do that with drivers a bit, where you can, you know, customize the paint and certainly the shafts that you put in there and what all that looks like. But... And then I'm just talking about cosmetics, right?
Right.
But the rest of the clubs, some of them offer irons in like the all black lines, or they can, you know, have a couple different satin finishes versus a stainless finish versus the black finish, things of that nature. But for the most part, the customization that you can really have some fun with is wedges and putters.
Yeah.
And I think you should. Look, that's... Golf is such a funny game that if you pull out a club and you're excited because it looks cool and you already know that it has to work, right?
Put you in a good frame of mind.
But yeah.
Absolutely, to hit shots.
But if you've got something that... I remember a couple years ago, some guys here stamped my initials on sort of random on the back of one of those MD4 wedges.
Yeah.
And I think it was just the Mac Daddy wedge at the time. And it's pretty cool. You pull it out, and it's kind of like, okay. It just kind of gives you there's a confidence about it. And there's nothing wrong with adding a little ingredient of confidence when you're about to hit a wedge shot.
You know, as the caddy always says, golfers are mentally unstable. And when you...
Is that what he says? Golfers are mentally unstable. Is
yeah, they are.
Okay.
They're crazy.
No, I think he says something about when they get between the ropes.
Yeah.
When they get between the ropes, they go... certifiably insane or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Something like that. Yeah, or you can't blame them for anything that happens between the ropes or whatever. Same thing, you know. In your mind, you got something that you've done what you've ever, whatever it is that you do to make it customized for you and kind of fun to pull out or excited to pull out, you know, whether it's putter or wedges or driver or whatever, and put you in a good frame of mind. It's nothing worse than having a driver or a putter and you're standing over the ball going, I have no clue where this is going.
Yeah, it's not a good thing.
That's not a good thing. And you just fight it and guess what? It's not going to get any better.
Even if that is the greatest technology in the world.
It's like taking off the grip and putting a new grip on. And it's not the same and it doesn't feel the same.
You know that? You know I like to tinker.
Yes,
and
I know you do.
By the way, and thanks to Callaway for sponsoring. Check out the new Tactical MD4 Wedge, CallawayGolf.com. Okay, so I like to tinker with stuff, and I see these grips that come out.
Yeah.
And I remember the first one that I really said, okay, I'm going to try this custom grip was when it was that one that KJ Choi was using when they started getting those really big, oversized grips.
Yeah, the big fat ones.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly which one it was. But anyway, I said, okay, I'm going to, you know what? I get it, right? I get the idea that because I tend to be a little wristy, especially, you know, I'm wristy in my golf swing. And so I put a ton of spin on the ball. And so ball goes really high. I don't know how to hit a low shot to save my life. But anyway, with the putter, sometimes, you get a little too wristy. It can be a bad thing. Although watching videos of your dad and Arnold and even Jack, I mean, they popped that.
That pop stroke.
Yeah, they had that thing.
They had to at the time.
Because the grass was so
long. Because the grass. Yeah. And the greens were slower.
So, yeah, so that's, and we don't have that today. But anyway, so I said, you know, I can see that this little wider, fatter grip is going to keep my hands more stable.
Yeah.
I'll do more of a shoulder turn, or, you know, rock those, not turn, but rock those shoulders, you know, and have the old pendulum clock. I was going through all the stuff that might have been in a Golf Digest magazine once, was going through my head thinking, this is going to be great. So I swap it out. And I even go over to the little putting green inside the store, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I think this feels all right. And then I just had this element of doubt. I'm still in the store, okay?
Yeah.
Still in the store, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. And then I had to go pop it off and put the other one back on. It didn't even get out of the store. And they made me buy it because I put it on. I'm like, I don't care, but put the other one back on. And I just, it was something that was, and I've tried it probably 3 or 4 different times over the years.
Yeah.
And every time I just have to go back to the, it's just,
doesn't work.
I don't have that feel.
Nope.
And I think it's the same, like Bryson DeChambeau uses those big fat grips on his irons and stuff. I get the concept. And even sometimes when you feel like one of those oversized grips in your hands, you think, yeah, I think this is going to be better. But man, I think you'd really have to work with that. And that's something you have to get used to.
It's hard to pull the trigger, yeah. No doubt about it.
So you're right. Going back to some confidence, if you can add a little bit through, you know, confidence is an ingredient that regardless of technology is huge in your equipment that you play.
Yeah, when you stand up to a shot and you have good feels and you have good thoughts in your mind, you're going to hit a better shot. Absolutely. No doubt about it.
That was a really big discussion about the fact that the tactical wedges are cool from Callaway Golf. But, all right, I like it. All right, let's hit some of the headlines and storylines going on this week. We mentioned Johnny Miller announcing his retirement from golf media and broadcasting. I'll say this, Bob. I think if I'm to sit down and watch a golf broadcast, I'm much more likely to be entertained and into it watching Dan Hicks and Johnny Miller than any other broadcast team out there, in my opinion.
Well, I agree with you, simply from the standpoint that we've seen this pair or this duo in golf, especially on NBC, for 20-something years. The only other ones that I really like in the game is Jim Nantz and whoever he's on with.
Jim Nantz he's an icon, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's a guy that transcends both normal sport, professional football, basketball, college basketball, that kind of thing, and golf. And he's a guy that has learned how to do that. Now, as far as...
Wait, I'm going to stop you right there. Did he just put golf in a separate category from normal sports?
No.
Dave, did he just do that? He just said normal sports
I said
and then
he
golf.
I meant he transcends all sports.
Right, but you mentioned other sports as normal sports.
I'm sorry.
And golf as a different sport.
I didn't mean to say that, okay? But he transcends all sports.
It's a game.
Whereas when I watch the Fox broadcast, it's really hard for me to watch those guys.
Right? That's not fair because the Fox broadcast is brand new golf guys, right?
Well, it's brand new golf guys, but it's also Jason Buck, who is known for baseball and football, and
not Jason.
Joe Buck. Yeah, that was bad.
Buck, I think, was a football player.
He was a football player at BYU. played for the Bengals. But Joe Buck, and I think he struggles with his golf portion.
It's tough to break into golf.
I like
listening to Joe Buck calling baseball games.
I love it.
I don't even mind him on football games.
I love him on football games, too. But now that Johnny's retiring, then the other half of Johnny of that is Paul Azinger. Paul Azinger looks like he's going to take the spot for Johnny Miller on NBC.
And I think that's a good move. I think Azinger will do a fantastic job.
Yep.
I think Azinger is going to be entertaining. I think he's going to say some things that, you know, that Johnny might have said.
He's very similar to kind of Johnny. He doesn't have a problem throwing a punch, in other words.
But that's what these guys, that's what golf needs. So you talked about, and I get it that you didn't mean it and you slipped and said normal sports and golf. But if you look at golf commentary, I mean, they kind of call it as that you have to bring the audience into it. And
yes.
Johnny's book was I Call the Shots.
Yep.
Well, he called the shots, and a lot of times he has a really good eye for the game. He understands. He's been in those moments. He understands when the pressure is at its highest. He understands when the choke point is there, and
not afraid to say the choke word.
But you know what? When you throw it out, and it sets it up, and you realize that what they're going through, it kind of makes it more interesting to watch. And then when the guy actually pulls it off and doesn't choke, it should make them look that much better, but they get that much more offended by it.
Yeah.
We'll continue this discussion next right here on Real Golf Radio.
Hey, travelers. Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them. But do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Now back to Real Golf Radio, talking golf back when 300-yard drives were big. For real, here's Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian and Bob with you. Thanks for joining us. This segment brought to you by Chrome Soft and Chrome Soft X, the ball that changed the ball. CallawayGolf.com. Check out Callaway Golf, Chrome Soft, Chrome Soft X. We're going to hear more about that later on. We had a good conversation with Jason Finley a couple of weeks ago. We'll hit some of that for you in hour number two. Stay tuned. All right, so we're talking about Johnny Miller. And, again, pretty cool. So Johnny called his first tournament as the lead analyst for NBC Sports back in 1990 at the Bob Hope Chrysler Classic. And he's now 71 years old. He's ready to spend some more time with his family and relax a little bit and not travel as much. And he's been telling us that. I mean, as we've had him on over the years, and Johnny, I'll say this from a personal standpoint, Johnny and my dad were good friends and have been for a long time. But he's always been really, really good to me. When I first got into broadcasting as a local producer on a sports radio show, he was kind enough to come on me on the show that I was producing. And this was back in probably 97 time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And Tiger was just kind of getting going and things like that. And Johnny would come on the show that I was producing. We weren't even doing a show till 1999. So this was 2 years before that. And just getting him as a guest on the show with the guys, and it was very, very nice. And then when we first began doing Real Golf Radio, which was called Fairways and Greens back then,
right?
He was kind enough to come on with us multiple times, and has probably been on, I would guess he's joined our show 100 times in 20 years.
Yeah, probably.
I would guess maybe 80.
Yeah.
3 or 4 times a year, anyway.
Yep.
So really, really nice of him to spend some time. And the thing that it has always impressed me when he comes on with us is he doesn't treat our show any differently than if he were on NBC.
Right.
He still, is professional and brings his best takes and energy and things like that. And I always appreciated that because I could see if you were on the major network, which is, being the lead analyst for a major network,
mm-hmm.
calling the highest level of sport, that's kind of the pinnacle.
Yeah.
And anything else is a little bit less than that.
Yep.
And our radio show is quite a bit down the road from all those other options
no
and media
doubt.
Outlets, right?
Yeah.
And so for him to come on and take that as seriously, and he was always very personal, hey, Brian, hey, Bob, how you doing? Good to be on Real Golf Radio again. Good to be on the show again. He would say that, and I'd be like, that's crazy. But cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. But he was always very, very kind, very, very generous with his time and enjoyed the conversation, enjoyed being able to talk about what he does.
Yeah.
And I bet I've had more than one Twitter battle with people over the years during NBC broadcasts where people are just going off on Johnny and, saying all kinds of rude and negative things. And I've gone on and bantered back and forth with him and kind of defended Johnny. But I'll say this, and Johnny doesn't disagree with this, by the way, looking back on it. Johnny said some things that he probably shouldn't have said.
Right.
And he probably let slip some things where you just go, oh, that's not going to go over very well.
And in his interview this week, he talked about one of those situations, and that was Justin Leonard at the Ryder Cup at Brookline. When was that, 99?
Yep.
And Justin Leonard had a horrible Ryder Cup, and he basically said Justin Leonard probably should be home.
Yeah.
Right now. And he went on to say that it's not actually what he meant, and then he went and made that 45 or 50 foot putt and on the 16th hole.
I think it was like 150 feet now, wasn't it?
It was huge, yeah.
I mean,
and
longer it gets.
But one of the things I really appreciated about Johnny was that he said that anytime he felt like he crossed the line, he contacted that player within 24 hours and apologized to him and told him he had made a double bogey in his comment. And I think because of that, I think initially the players were really critical. But because of that, I think it kind of started to smooth things over at the players and some of his comments, some of his choking comments, I think he tried to say things that the everyday, not only having experienced it, playing professional golf and having the amount of wins that he had and everything, major championships. But I think it was also a way to draw in the public and make them feel like they aren't the only one that feel these situations. and how they could turn out too. So, but.
Well, he's an emotional guy. He played with a lot of emotion.
Uh-huh.
He made his call with a lot of emotion, and that's kind of just how he lived his life, with a lot of emotion. And like, this is a guy that, and I love how people will want to get on Johnny for this or that, but the guy lived it, and he did it. I mean, this is a guy that, 25 wins on the PGA Tour.
Yep.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
I believe he was the first one that was voted in as an inaugural Hall of Famer. He was the Player of the Year on the PGA Tour back in 1974. I mean, this is a guy that won 2 major championships. He was in the hunt for, how many at the Masters? He was 3 times a runner-up.
Yeah. Yep.
He understands being so close you can taste it and not
getting it done.
Yeah, being able to quite get there.
Yep.
And how discouraging and how disappointing and how frustrating all that is.
Yeah.
He understands that, but he also understands getting on a roll. And yeah, he shot 63 in 1973 and won at Oakmont. It's arguably one of the toughest U.S. Open venues. And he, you know, yeah, he did that. And yeah, everybody brings it up every single time. And yeah, you might get tired of it, but that doesn't change the fact that he did it. And it's noteworthy. And Tommy Fleetwood, 63 in the final round of the U.S. Open at Shinnecock, is super impressive, but he didn't win.
Yep.
Johnny shot 63 in the final round and won. So
exactly.
I mean, it's still going to go down as the greatest final round.
Then he
won
the British Open as well.
Right, 1976.
Yep.
So
at Birkdale?
Mm-hmm. I believe at Birkdale. So this is a guy that, you know, put himself in the mix, put himself in the fire. He had a fairly sustainable career for getting the putter yips and kind of shortening his career. He still won at Pebble Beach in 4 decades.
I think so, yeah.
The
last one he won.
94.
He had a shaft up his arm like guys are putting with right now.
Kuchar, the grip with the putter.
Yeah, I think it may have even been up in his armpit that long, and he was looking at the hole when he stroked the putt. And he won. But I can remember when they played the U.S. Open at Cherry Hills. My dad was playing it. Johnny was there. We were playing practice rounds. And I was walking with my dad in between the ropes. And Johnny had this bullseye putter that he had won a ton of championships with on the PGA Tour and everything. He made everything with that bullseye putter.
There's nothing to those bullseyes either.
Oh. And he let me hit some putts with it on one of the greens. And that thing was the sweetest putter I think I've ever stroked.
Really?
Oh, it was sweet.
You're talking about just the little gold, skinny, had the little heel thing kicked up in the back?
Everything I hit with it went in the hole. It was crazy.
What kind of grip did it have?
I have no idea. I was thinking, man, no wonder he's good, such a good player. Because this putter was like unbelievable, making everything.
Did you start out with a bullseye putter?
No. No.
Do you remember what your first putter was when you were playing high school and stuff?
No.
You should think back on that. You should know all your putters. I don't know. Maybe they're like old girlfriends. You should forget them when you
you forget them when you move on.
When you finally get married.
Move on.
All right. That's a cool story, though. The first time I remember meeting Johnny was, I think it was at the Jeremy Ranch Shootout up in Park City.
Uh-huh.
And it was my dad took me there because he knew
him. He was playing
with
my dad.
Was he playing with your dad that year? And all I remember was I was like so excited to meet him. We're on the golf course, and he had his fly rod in his golf bag.
Oh, yeah.
And he would stop and fish all those little string. That's all he wanted to do. I'd be like, what's he doing over there?
There's a lot of nice fish in that stream going down through the golf course.
Well, now there's some signs on it that say you can't fish it. Anyway. But yeah, there are. It's a cool little stream. But I just remember thinking, why does he have his fishing pole? It's a golf tournament. What's he doing with his fishing pole? And we took a couple other trips with him over the years, and it was all about fly fishing for Johnny. He loves fly fishing.
Yep.
And the challenge of that and the presentation, it's very similar to golf. And I didn't understand that when we first started the show 20 years ago.
Couldn't understand fishing.
I couldn't understand. And then it was about halfway into the show, about 10 years ago or so, I got hooked on it. And I get it now. I get it. Fly fishing's different. Then I grew up fishing out of a boat where you just threw it out the back and put it in a rod holder and ate Oreos and waited for something to happen.
Yeah. You're trolling. Yep.
And that's not interesting to me anymore, but fly fishing is
it's
a whole different game. So anyway, Johnny is I mean, he's a brash. He played that way. He called that way, but he's a complete gentleman. He's an emotional guy, and I tip my cap to Johnny Miller. He's part of the fabric that is the PGA Tour and the history of the PGA Tour. And, you know, I think he's right in there with the Ken Venturis and, you know, those that were, you know, incredible players, turned broadcasters that just, you know, helped to make this game and bring it out onto the stage. And not everybody can do that. Not everybody is a good broadcaster. And just because you're a great player doesn't mean you're a great broadcaster. And
that's true.
I think you're seeing a real gem fading away here in Johnny Miller. So we tip our cap to Johnny and thank him for his time calling the shots in the game of golf. Last year, Callaway's transformative jailbreak technology created an epic shift in ball speed and performance. In fact, it made them the number one driver in golf. Now it's the fairway wood's turn. That's right, the new Rogue Fairway is the world's first fairway wood with jailbreak technology. Let me say that again. Callaway has put jailbreak bars into a fairway wood. We're talking about game-changing ball speed here. And of course, every Rogue Fairway comes equipped with Callaway's legendary 360 face cups. When you put these two things together, which is crazy when you think about it, you get the most powerful fairway wood Callaway has ever created. You'll immediately see a difference in distance and ball speed. But stay humble and let your buddies ask, how the heck did you get there in two? Did you just outdrive me with a three wood? And you could just nod and say, yep, I went rogue. Get the details on the new Rogue Fairway at CallawayGolf.com. It's time to go rogue with Callaway, the number one fairway woods in golf.
At the first tee.
Oh, oops.
It's the little things in life we pick up.
Hey, thank you.
That make for a successful future.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thanks.
Oh, you dropped this.
Because little things can carry a big impact both on and off the course.
Hey, thanks.
To learn more, visit thefirsttee.org.
Callaway Golf has been the fastest growing golf ball brand since 2013, and the ChromeSoft golf ball has been a major part of that. ChromeSoft is extremely fast, incredibly soft, and unbelievably easy to control, which is why Phil Mickelson, Patrick Reed, and Jim Furyk have changed to ChromeSoft. You have to be willing to change to get better. ChromeSoft and the new ChromeSoft X are in stores now. See what they can do at CallawayGolf.com. ChromeSoft. It's the ball that changed the ball.
Your hands, with the grip, they form the connection between you and your club. In a game where feel is so important to playing your very best, great shots begin with a great grip. For every golfer who wants to play better, there's a Lampkin grip.
The difference between tour pros and regular golfers is, well, pretty much everything. But when it comes to putting, the best players in the world generate top spin at impact. Most of us do not. The new O-Works Micro Hinge insert from Odyssey dramatically generates top spin at impact regardless of the putting stroke. Top spin is what gets the ball rolling on its intended line. The Micro Hinge insert is a new way to roll. The new O-Works Micro Hinge insert from Odyssey is in stores now. Go to odysseygolf.com to learn more.
You're listening to Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, talking golf since Jordan Spieth was in first grade.
You started it.
That's Real Golf Radio.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian and Bob with you. We're talking about Johnny Miller and his announcing his retirement from broadcasting. And he was kind enough to agree to join us for our show today. And again, due to some technical issues. Somehow our phone lines, with the construction being taking place out by the freeway, somehow our phone lines got jacked, and so we're not able to conduct that interview. But he did, hopefully, we'll catch up with him next week. We'll talk to him about his retirement and things like that. But we did, as we mentioned, we've had Johnny on the show numerous times. I thought it'd be kind of fun to share some of the things that, some of the interviews that that we had, or some of the comments that we had from Johnny, and some of these interviews from years past. Which one you got queued up there, Dave? Okay, so last year it was pretty cool because he had an opportunity to go back and broadcast for the British Open.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just the second time that he had done a British Open, where an NBC got that contract.
Correct.
And it was a chance for him to go back to Birkdale, where he won his claret jug. And it was pretty neat to talk about that opportunity that he was going to have to go back and broadcast at the site where he won. Here it is.
It is. There's no doubt about that. You know, last year was our first Open Championship that we covered, and it was an unbelievable one at Troon there, with Stenson shooting 63 the last round to beat that head-to-head with Phil, and they had 11 shots clear of J.B. Holmes, who was third place, and so that was one of the great duels in major championship history. So that was a good way to usher in our first Open, because sometimes, you know, you'll get a leaderboard that, you know, it's not the most exciting to the average viewer. And so, you know, that's, now we're going to Birkdale, which has produced some pretty good champions in the past, no doubt about that. I'm excited to cover it, and excited to see those holes and sort of reminisce on how I played that Open, and what made it work. And also, of course, do my homework that I've been doing on the course, and, you know, what's happened, transpired in the last couple Opens there. And so yeah, it's going to be a great week, super week, and it's supposed to be pretty good weather, actually. A lot of the days in the low 70s.
So, Johnny, congratulations on your extension on your contract with NBC. Going to continue in the booth for a little bit longer. But in 1976, when you went to Royal Birkdale, was there anything particular about the golf course that you really liked, that you really thought that you were going to have a chance to possibly win that golf tournament?
Well, you know, in 73 and 75, the year before, you know, there's a super good chance I could have won those two Opens. And I bogeyed the last hole in 75, and I might have been, I think I was the favorite that week to win that Open. I was in that good run of mine, but bogeyed that last hole. And, of course, Watson ended up winning that, but that was at Carnoustie's. But what happened was, when I had my same caddy all the time, he lived in Southport right here at Birkdale. He was his home course, about a 5 handicap, and they were having a drought. The fairways were hard as rocks. You couldn't land the ball on the green except for maybe a 9-iron or a wedge. You had to land 10, 20 yards short and let it bounce in. There was probably the truest, you know, links conditions ever in the last 40 years, where you had to play the humps and the bumps short of the green. And he he saw how well I was hitting that 1-iron in practice, and he just said, as aggressive as I was as a player, he said, you're going to just hit that 1-iron every hole but two holes around. And I did. And to be really honest, I don't remember missing one fairway with that 1-iron the whole week. It was so easy. I was using a Sirlin-covered ball, which is the only guy that I know of that's ever won a major with a Sirlin cover. I figured the greens were holding anyway. I might as well hit that Sirlin covered ball with that 1-iron and that hard fairways that go a mile. So my caddy, I give him, Ted Housel, really wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't have won that Open. But it is a great course. It really is. It got toughened after, I guess it was 91, the 91 Open. They went and redid all the greens and made them a lot of humps and bumps and much tougher. So the last couple Opens there in 98, O'Meara shot even par. And then when they redid it in 2008, Harrington won with +3. So, I mean, the greens are tougher than they were when we played, but it's a good test, really good test. And it opens up with one of the hardest opening holes in all of golf. The only one that probably compares is the first hole at Oakmont. and it has maybe the hardest hole in all of major championship tests. That sixth hole, it played, if you can imagine, last time they played there, it played to 4.765. So that's almost like a par five score. So that they got some tough holes out there, no doubt.
Johnny Miller joining us here on Real Golf Radio. You know, you talk about that one iron. I was only 2 years old when you won that one, Johnny. So I don't remember watching it, but I watched Tiger around Liverpool, and you know, he pretty much left the driver in the bag under, you know, firm hard conditions. And is there something satisfying as a player to have a ball striking round like that, where you come up with a strategy and then you execute it flawlessly and end up dominating the way you did that week?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I didn't love hitting that one off the tee, but it just worked with the conditions it was. And then, of course, from the fairway, my mid and short irons were, you know, the strength of my game. So, I mean, I don't know why I didn't use that strategy in more majors. I always played the majors like the Phoenix Open, which didn't work too well, actually. So, I don't know. For some reason, I like to, like I drove cars in those days, I liked the floor, you know, so... But if I could have had a little Billy Casper in me, I probably would have won more than two majors. So,
well, you know, and that's what I was going to say. One of the things my dad prided himself in, and I'm sure he instilled it into you and all the practice rounds that you guys played and that kind of thing, was how to position the ball off the golf course, what to hit off the tee, those kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about that. It's just that for some reason I like to hit that driver, you know, and it just, the majors really aren't, that Nicklaus and your dad basically were the ones that really, I think they copied Ben Hogan a bit, which if you're going to copy somebody, he's the guy that, you know, Ben would put know where he wanted to put it right off the tee, even the landing area. You know, so I think somehow when you have a game plan like that, it makes the intention of what you're trying to do makes you more successful. And like I said, if I had to do it over again, I would have done more of that.
Johnny Miller joining us here on Real Golf Radio. A closing round 66 to win at Birkdale. Closing round 63, historic, as we know, at the U.S. Open at Oakmont. What is it about final rounds? I mean, you were able to come from behind and win in both of those, and it just doesn't seem like we see a ton of that in today's game. What was it about your game or your mentality that allowed you to be free enough and under the pressure to go out and shoot those scores in the final rounds?
Well, I was just a streak player. If you study my track record, I was a great front runner. But the two majors I won, like you say, are coming from behind. You know, every week there in those years from 73 to 76, I usually have one good, really good round, low round out of the four if I was playing any good at all. And that's what happened both of those majors. And I think, you know, the pressure on my putting wasn't very good in majors. That held me back a lot. But, you know, I was very interested in that Open just because of this guy, Seve Ballesteros, you know, 19-year-old Spaniard. Nobody had any idea who he was. I had the lead after the first round and then the second round. And I played with him in the third round. I still had the lead, a couple-shot lead. And then I played with him the last round also. So it was interesting seeing Seve you know, have a shot at winning that major. It's just what he did is he did Johnny Miller. He decided to hit driver every hole, and the pressure of you know, a young Spaniard to win an Open, one of his first Open, might have been his first Open. I don't know that, but you know, he should have sort of seen what I was doing on Saturday a bit, and maybe hit more one irons because he carried a one iron, but he surely didn't use it. So that's what a lot of people remember. And after that, almost every major, every time I went overseas, they would always pair me with Seve first couple rounds. For some reason, people remember Seve and myself together from that 76 Open. We had quite a good friendship, and he had the same manager your dad did and I did. So he sort of followed in our footsteps a bit.
All right, there you go. That was Johnny Miller from last summer as he was headed into Birkdale and called the call at Royal Birkdale, where he won the 1976 Open Championship and hoisted the claret jug for his second.
And don't forget, Jordan Spieth won that event over Matt Kuchar with that with that bogey on the, what, the 15th hole or something, or 14th hole or 13th hole, something like that.
15. Out of the driving range.
Then he made birdie the next hole.
He almost holed it on the next shot.
Yeah.
The par three.
Yeah. And then he made eagle.
And then it was 13. Maybe it was 13.
I think it was 13 because he played his last five holes in four under par or something like that. It's pretty crazy. So.
Well, like Johnny said, that Royal Birkdale has produced some great champions.
Yes, it has.
Including him.
Yep.
In the 1976 Open Championship. So, again, Johnny will join us live coming up next week, or we'll have a live interview with him next week. I'm not sure if we're going to have him live during the show, but we will sit down with him at some point next week, and you'll hear that on the show next week on Real Golf Radio, talking about his retirement, talking about what his next plans are, which I can tell you what they are, include fishing. And duck hunting, which is what he's doing today.
Yes, he's doing that this morning.
Otherwise,
he
would be joining us live. Well, he wouldn't be because we have no phones. But we were going to sit down with him yesterday afternoon. And again, construction. Blaming it all on the construction. But hey.
Yep.
At least the microphone works, right?
That's right.
For better or worse, you get to hear more of us and less of guests.
That's right.
But
anyway, you're going to hear some.
Yeah. Coming up in the hour number two, the back nine, the rules are just a couple months away from being
implemented.
Yeah, which is going to be exciting. 2019, got some new stuff. We'll highlight those for you. You'll hear from Thomas Pagel from the USGA talking a little bit about them, and then we'll go through the highlights of the rules changes. And
there's about 20 main ones that are pretty important.
It might affect your how you play your regular round.
Yeah.
I think most of them are a proactive, positive approach, less rather than a
correct.
Let's try to make the game harder and stupider.
Yeah, I agree.
Sadly, you still have to play out of a sand-filled divot in the middle of the darn fairway.
Yes, you do. Also, Brooks Koepka, he's leading the CJ Cup at the Nine Bridges. He's leading by four shots going to the final round. If he goes on to win, he will be the number one player in the world. And it might be kind of cool to see how he, where he got from the Challenge Tour in Europe all the way to the PGA Tour, the number one player in the world.
You got a little, footsteps, a little timeline on how he got there?
Yep.
All right.
It's pretty interesting.
It is quite the rise for Brooks Koepka, and deservedly so. He ought to be number one in the world. He won half the major championships this year, and certainly just in dominating fashion. The way he played golf this year was unbelievable, really the last couple of years. And I'm with you. The path he took was really cool. You know, I mean, coming off of, he's one of those first guys that found himself not able to hit Q School to go right to the PGA Tour.
Correct.
So he went an alternative route.
Yep.
Rather than Q School onto the web.com, he went over to Europe, and now look at him.
Yep.
We'll hit it all coming up next. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Real Golf Radio.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780. It has been said that everyone has a book in them. But do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Do you use the blue pill to charge your sex life? Have you been thinking about trying the blue pill? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call and get your 44 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for the other blue pills. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in a non-marked package. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. That's 800-223-0992.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Now back to Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian and Bob with you. Thanks for joining us. Talking a lot about Johnny Miller and his retirement. We mentioned the rules of golf and some of the changes that are getting ready to be implemented. We're going to hit those coming up on the back nine, hour number two. Again, we're unable to get guests on this morning, and we had a great show assembled for you, but we will push that back to next week where you'll hear from Johnny. He'll join us to talk about his retirement. Also, Dave Neville from Callaway Golf talking about these new tactical wedges and some of the things that I'm hearing rumored out on social media and such about some of the new gear coming down. We'll see if we can probe Dave for a little bit more on that.
We talked a little bit about the driver last week, the new Epic Flash.
So-called. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
That's kind of...
We'll see.
It's a fun time of year.
Yep.
Look, the bottom line is they're putting them in the hands of the guys on tour. They're wanting their feedback, and they're wanting to create a little buzz. And, of course, if they're out there, people are going to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to talk about them.
Yep.
So that's what's out there. But anyway, a fun time of year for equipment. We talked about... a little bit about the putters and putter grips and bullseye putters and all kinds of fun stuff. But anyway, coming up on the back nine. Oh, by the way, before we'll get to that. But on the back nine, we'll talk about a potential new number one in Brooks Koepka.
Yes.
We'll talk about the rules that are coming up. But first, quick check of the leaderboard. CJ
Cup at 9 Bridges. Brooks Koepka at 13 under par has a 4-shot lead over Ian Poulter and Scott Piercy. Scott was the 36-hole leader. And then you've got Rafa Cabrera-Bello, Cameron Smith, Jamie Lovemark, Pat Perez, Gary Woodland, Chez Reavie, all at 8 under par.
I love that Brooks is still playing, man. When you're playing well, milk it.
Well, and this is his first event of the 18-19 wraparound season.
Well, he's going to start it off with a win.
Yep.
And claiming world number one.
Yep.
Good for you, man.
Way to start your year.
Yeah, not too bad. All right, stay tuned. The back nine, hour number two, coming up next.
USA Radio News.
After more than 2 weeks of speculation, Saudi Arabia acknowledged the death of Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi at their consulate in Turkey. The Saudis are saying that Khashoggi was accidentally killed in a fight. They're not admitting that he was murdered, though. The New York Times is reporting that he was strangled. So far, 18 men have been arrested in the case, and several Saudi intelligence officials have been fired. President Trump responded.
I think it's a very important first step, and it happened sooner than people thought it would happen. I've spoken to the king. I want to speak with the crown prince. And, you know, I think we're getting close to solving a very big problem.
He said what happened to Khashoggi was unacceptable. But when asked if he found the Saudi explanation credible, he said,
I do.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
Look, I know this isn't the first MyPillow spot you've heard, and if you don't have yours yet, what are you waiting for? MyPillow stays cool, keeps its shape all night long. You can toss it in your washer and dryer, and it's like new again. Made in the USA, comes with a 10-year warranty and a great money-back guarantee. If you don't love your MyPillow, you have till March 1st to return it. How about that? Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Buy One, Get One Free special. Use my code USA and get one free pillow when you buy one at regular price, plus shipping. That's MyPillow.com, click on the Buy One, Get One Free special. Enter promo code USA. That's promo code USA.
A possible tragedy was averted by police in Kentucky. Here's more from USA's Rick Vincent.
The man under arrest by Kentucky State Police for making threats against Anderson County schools was carrying 200 rounds of ammunition and a bulletproof vest. Kentucky State Police Commissioner Rick Sanders.
I can tell you that he was caught backing out of his driveway with the tools he needed to commit this heinous act.
20-year-old Dylan Jarrell admits to making the threats. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
Go.
A caravan of migrants from Central America that are heading to the U.S. were blocked from getting into Mexico. They began tearing down a barrier that was at the border. The massive migrants crammed onto a thin border bridge and chanted, "Yes, we can." They were then blocked by another gate on the Mexican side where riot police deployed pepper spray. Spanish TV Telemundo showed panicked migrants jumping into the river. This is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
The U.S. Pacific Fleet reports a Seahawk helicopter has crashed on the flight deck of the USS Ronald Reagan. John Clemens reports.
All injured personnel are in stable condition under evaluation by the ship's medical staff. The military reports while some personnel will be medically evacuated ashore, none of the injuries are life-threatening. The crash occurred during routine operations in the Philippine Sea. The Ronald Reagan remains fully mission capable and has resumed flight operations. The cause of the mishap is under investigation. I'm John Clemens.
Hurricane Michael has affected families across the U.S. My cousin used to live near Tyndall Air Force Base in Florida before her home was demolished. When the storm hit, Erin, her husband, and two young kids went to stay in Tallahassee with their mom, Mandy. She tells me after the storm, they went to see their home and found people had looted their things.
Yes, they were looted. People stole their televisions. There's a lot of looting going on over there.
She says even the baby's things were taken, and they have to start from scratch.
They have lost their home. They've lost a lot of their possessions. Right now, the four of them are crammed into my living room, and it's just not enough space. They need their own house.
To help Erin and her family, you can go to the Facebook fundraiser for Amanda Sparks Smith in Tallahassee. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
The second nine, the finishing holes, the closing stretch. It starts now. Here's the back nine, our number two of Real Golf Radio. With the steady stripe it down the middle, make every putt because it's in your blood, Bob Casper, and that better lucky than good handled dragon flipper, Brian Taylor. Here's Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian and Bob with you. Thanks for joining us here on the back nine, hour number two of Real Golf Radio. RealGolfRadio.com is the website. At Real Golf is our Twitter handle. Join us there, and I'd love to hear from you. Join the conversation. Johnny Miller announcing his retirement from professional golf. Let's just take a look at this real quick, Bob. PGA okay. Tour wins.
Yeah.
25. He got his first win September 12th, 1971 at the Southern Open Invitational, and it was a five-shot win over Dean Beeman.
There you go.
He then won again, was over a year later. It was November 27th, 1972. He won the Sea Pines Heritage Classic by a shot over Tom Weisskopf. And then it was about 6 months later in June when he won the U.S. Open in 1973 with that final round 63. You know, he went 71-69, which was right in the hunt, but then 76 on Saturday, came back with 63. 13-shot turnaround from around Saturday to Sunday. That's impressive.
Yeah.
A one-shot victory over? No one would ever get that. John Schlee.
John Schlee. Yep.
And then how about 1974, the year I was born? On January 6th, he won the Bing Crosby by four strokes over Greer Jones. He won the Phoenix Open a week later by a stroke over Lanny Watkins. The following week, he won the Dean Martin Tucson Open by three strokes over Ben Crenshaw. And then he didn't play in February. I don't know. Did they not play in February at that time?
They did. I don't know.
So he won three in a row.
Yep.
3 weeks in a row in January.
That's when he got the name termed Desert Fox, because he won those tournaments all in the desert.
Well, Bing Crosby would have been at Pebble Beach, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, and then... And then he won the two in the desert. Yeah,
yeah.
The Phoenix Open and the
yep.
Tucson Open. And then he went on to win Sea Pines Heritage in March 31st by three shots over Gibby Gilbert. Is that
yep.
name?
Oh, yeah. I know Gibby.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You know Gibby Gilbert?
I know his kids.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, wait till I tell you about the next one he won. Stay tuned.
The new Chrome Soft is better from tee to green. To maximize control, you need a ball with a soft, thin cover. Chrome Soft has a tour urethane cover, which feels incredible. Under the cover is the mantle. The guys in R&D at Callaway have tuned this layer to produce a more penetrating ball flight from 50 to 125 yards. Distance control in the scoring zone is everything. More control means more birdies. And I like birdies. This is the dual soft fast core. So what does it do? It produces ultra low spin off the driver for incredibly fast ball speed. Yet the core is still soft enough for you to compress the ball off the long irons. It's extremely soft and extremely fast. That's the secret behind Chrome Soft. The new Chrome Soft from Callaway. It's the ball that changed the ball.
The difference between tour pros and regular golfers is, well, pretty much everything. But when it comes to putting, the best players in the world generate top spin at impact. Most of us do not. The new O-Works Micro Hinge insert from Odyssey dramatically generates top spin at impact regardless of the putting stroke. Top spin is what gets the ball rolling on its intended line. The Micro Hinge insert is a new way to roll. The new O-Works Micro Hinge insert from Odyssey is in stores now. Go to odysseygolf.com to learn more.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Callaway's transformative gel brake technology created an epic shift in ball speed and performance. In fact, it made them the number one driver in golf. Now it's the fairway wood's turn. The new Rogue Fairway is the world's first fairway wood with gel brake technology. And of course, every Rogue Fairway comes equipped with Callaway's legendary 360 face cups, making Rogue the most powerful fairway wood Callaway has ever created. Get the distance on the new Rogue Fairway at CallawayGolf.com. Go Rogue with Callaway, the number one fairway woods in golf.
The first tee can teach young people how to hit a driver or how to stop a ball out of a bunker. But true success is measured by how well they perform off the golf course, by how well they use values like confidence,
my name is Kyla,
perseverance, and integrity in their daily lives.
I'm picking off your wallet.
The first tee helps young men and women become better golfers, but even more important, better people. Get involved. Visit thefirsttee.org.
Now back to Real Golf Radio with Brian and Bob.
Hey, welcome back to the show. This segment brought to you by Callaway Golf. Check out their new Callaway, well, I guess it's not new anymore, but their Rogue line of drivers,
oh, yeah?
Fairway woods, hybrids. Tell you what, absolute game changers for me this year. So long, so straight, just so forgiving, and just so pure.
Check Buy yourself a game.
Yeah, well, you can. Yes, absolutely. Get properly fit. I'd recommend a Fujikura
absolutely.
Shaft.
Absolutely.
But get properly fit and get out there and enjoy hitting them long and straight with Callaway and the Rogue line of fairway woods, drivers, and hybrids. We welcome you back to the show. Thanks for joining us. So we're going through Johnny Miller's year of 1974. He won eight times.
Eight times.
In 1974.
Yes, he did.
So we just previously mentioned the Bing Crosby, Phoenix Open, Tucson Open, Sea Pine Heritage Classic over Gibby Gilbert. We were talking about that as we
yep.
were left. Then he won the Tournament of Champions in April.
That was at...
by a shot.
That was in San Diego at La Costa.
Was it?
Yep.
Over Buddy Allen and John Mahaffey.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wouldn't win again. That was April 28th. He wouldn't win again till August 25th when he won the Westchester Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Shot 19 under par, won by two shots over Don Bees.
Mm-hmm.
You say, mm-hmm, like you know who that is.
Yeah, I do.
I have no idea.
I know.
Did he win on tour?
Yes, he did.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you spell it? Bees?
B-I-E-S.
Wow. All right. I got to hand it to you. Then he won in September. He won the World Golf Open Championship in a playoff over... Frank Beard,
mm-hmm.
Bob Murphy,
yeah,
Jack Nicklaus.
There you go.
Pretty good. In his next event, the next week, I mean, ride it while you're hot, right? Actually,
yep.
It's 2 weeks later. He won the Kaiser International Open Invitational by 8 strokes.
Was that in the Pacific Northwest?
Doesn't say. I could click on it and find out, but... He shot 17 under, Bob. He won by 8 strokes over a couple of Hall of Famers, namely Lee Trevino
uh-huh.
and Billy Casper.
There you go.
That must have been quite a thrill for him to, you know, again, with Billy being his idol and getting him out there on tour
yep.
to be able to go out and, you know, beat your dad. That's
and my
cool.
dad's last PGA Tour win was in 75 when he won in New Orleans.
75?
75.
All right. Well, he almost had number 50... Two right there, which at the time would have been 53, but...
Yeah, technically it should have been 52.
Yeah.
Or 50. Yeah, 53. Sorry.
Bring back Cuba.
Yep.
Johnny won the Phoenix Open again in 1975 in the Tucson Open. That's pretty impressive. So he won the Phoenix Open and the Tucson Open back-to-back, 74-75, and actually went on to win the Tucson Open again in 76.
Yep.
And he won the Bob Hope Desert Classic back-to-back years in 75 and 76.
There you go.
So, pretty cool. And then, of course, his two major championships, 73 and 76. But an impressive career. Any way you look at it, his final win was February 1994. He won the AT&T Pebble Beach. Though his, in fact, his last two wins, 87 and 94 Pebble Beach Pro-Ams.
Yep.
Pretty cool. Beat Payne Stewart by a shot in 87. And beat Jeff Maggart, Corey Pavin, Tom Watson, and Kirk Triplett all by a shot back in 1994. Earned himself a trip to Augusta.
Yes, he did.
Which is the last time he played the Masters.
Yep.
Where he was three times a runner-up. Names on the trophy three times, but no jacket in the closet. Dang it! Ah, you know, if you had to go back and do one thing, you'd want to get one of those.
Oh, yeah.
You want to get one of those.
Yeah.
You imagine? All right, so there you go. Again, congratulations to Johnny on his retirement announcement. And fittingly, he will retire after his call of the Phoenix Open coming up next spring.
Yes.
So we still have him for a couple of events. Mm-hmm. All right, we talked about some leaderboards coming into the end of the show, at the end of the first hour. Mm-hmm. We talked about Brooks Koepka.
Correct.
And he's got a four-shot lead going into the final round, CJ Cup, nine bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Big week for Brooks. If he goes on to win this week, vaults him to the number one player in the
Correct.
World.
Correct.
Quite a rise for a kid that,
yeah,
out of Florida, didn't hear a whole lot about, got his start out over on the on the European
Challenge Tour.
Challenge Tour, right. Mm-hmm. And at the time, do you remember we were talking about Peter Uihlein?
Yeah.
He's Wally Uihlein's kid. That's, of course, the founder of Titleist. So he
or
got
the
kind
CEO
of the
CEO of Titleist, yeah.
Sorry, CEO. And he was kind of the guy that we're watching, and he's like, oh, yeah, this so Uihlein's over there, and oh, that kid Koepka, he's over there too. And they're in this challenge tour, and they're going to try to, I guess, find their way back to the PGA Tour through the Europeans Challenge Tour.
Inadvertently, they have both found their way back onto the PGA Tour.
I don't think inadvertently. I think they were determined.
Yeah.
I think that was exactly their plan. But, yeah, they've both made it.
So Koepka played at Florida State. In college?
It's Florida State or Florida?
Yep. No. Let me see.
I thought it was Florida kid.
Florida State University
okay,
College.
Okay, my bad. My apologies. That's a mistake.
Yep.
A faux pas.
So, summer of 2002, he turned professional and began playing on the Challenge Tour in Europe. He won his first title in September in Spain, Catalunya, Spain. 2013, he got his second tour win. On the Challenge Tour, and then a month later, he won his third, and then 3 weeks later, he won his fourth.
Wow. Four times on the Challenge Tour.
His second year, he won three times. Yep. Which got him onto the European Tour, his three wins. And
I was going to say, do they have the Battlefield promotion thing like they do
here? I think they did. Yeah, okay. And I think they do. The day after his third Challenge Tour win in 2013, Koepka qualified for the 2013 Open Championship. And he made his debut as a member of the European Tour and played in three events prior to promotion to membership, and then played the Scottish Open where he finished tied for 12th. 2014, on the PGA Tour, he finished tied for...
Wait. So he never really played European Tour?
He did. He played a little bit on the European Tour, but he made enough money in the Open Championship and had enough success that he started to play some PGA Tour events.
Okay.
So,
and I remember when this was all going on, we were following him and talked about how cool the story was.
Yeah.
Never thought it would get to this point.
Right.
But super impressive the way he went about his business.
Fries.com Open in 2014 on the PGA Tour. He finished tied for third. At the U.S. Open, he collected a fourth-place finish, and then he earned, which got
which
him
Which one was that?
U.S. Open.
I know, which one? Which year?
2014. And that earned, then he got his PGA Tour card for the 14-15 season. And his first Masters invite because of his win, or because of his play. He was 15th at the PGA Championship and was nominated PGA Tour Rookie of the Year in 2014-15. On the European Tour in 2014, he won the Turkish Airlines Open, finished third at the Dubai Desert Classic and the Omega European Masters, and ninth at the Alfred Dunhill Lynx. He ranked eighth in the race to Dubai that year and was named European Tour's Sir Henry Cotton Rookie of the Year. Then he got his first win on the PGA Tour in 2015 at the Waste Management Phoenix Open and moved to 19th in the official world golf rankings. And then he just started rolling on the PGA Tour. Only had that one win, and then he got his first U.S. Open championship in, what, 16? No, 17. And then he got another one in 18, along with the PGA Tour. The PGA Championship. So he's won three majors.
Yep.
And he has one other win on the PGA Tour. Is that right?
He has a total of...
four wins on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, four. Mm-hmm. Three of them are majors.
Four wins on the European Tour, two wins on the Japan Golf Tour, and four wins on the Challenge Tour. And he has an opportunity to get his second win, not a major on the PGA Tour this week, with one round to play, the CJ Cup at Nine Bridges.
Could be the new number one in the world. All right, stay tuned. More Real Golf continues next.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to The Secret War, a new Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government, and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free. Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Pick up your phone and call right now. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. Once again, that's 800-932-5517. Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
Now back to Real Golf Radio, talking golf back when 300-yard drives were big. For real, here's Brian and Bob.
Hey, when it comes to WGC events, major championships, and tours around the world, more players choose Odyssey than any other putter in golf. Check out odysseygolf.com, the number one putter in golf. Thank you for joining the show. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper with you. Pleasure to have you on board. It's a little bit different show this morning. Our scheduled guests unable to join us because of some apparently construction that chopped some phone lines somewhere down the way that affected us here in the studio. Some mile or so away from where this happened, apparently. So anyway, stuff happens, so we roll on, and it gives us an opportunity to talk about some of the current topics and reflect on some of the things that are taking place, including the new rule changes that are just a couple of months from being implemented.
Yep.
We're going to talk specifically about some of those coming up in the next segment, but first we thought it worthwhile to listen back to our conversation with Thomas Pagel back in March as the review period completed. Remember, they offered a time where people could go offer their commentary and things like that.
Correct.
Not sure how much of an impact that made, but Thomas said they certainly listened and read every one of the comments and ultimately settled on these rules, and they were implemented throughout this year, and they're ready to go for the beginning of 2019, which is just a couple of months away. Anyway, here's Thomas Pagel talking about how this review period's over and where it goes from here.
Everyone at the USGA and the RNA, you know, as well as our partners across the tours that have been involved in this process, we're very satisfied with where we've ended up here. It's been a long process. I mean, I think back to that first meeting in April of 2012 in St. Andrews when, you know, USGA, RNA, PGA Tour, European Tour, we all just sat in a room together and said, you know, over the last 30 years, we've tried so hard to make the rules precise, so hard to make them fair in certain situations that they've just become too complicated. So how can we put our heads together to fix this? And I'm not sure at that meeting that we fully appreciated or understood the process that we were about to go through and really the impact that this will be able to have for the game. So really thrilled with where we are. You know, the announcement this week and coming out to confirm the rules that will take effect in January, that was just, you know, the next step. There's still a lot for us to do in the background with developing of some secondary publications and educational materials, but it's great to have it stamped final. Know where we'll be in 2019 and really just prepare for January.
So going back to that meeting, you have that meeting back in 2012, you kind of get all together and everything, and you guys decide that you want to simplify the rules of golf, and you start working towards that arena. How does that change necessarily the decisions and the decisions books that you have? Do you kind of have to rewrite that all over again and that kind of thing?
Absolutely. And that is one of the great outcomes of this project. I mean, the overall objective was, how do we make the rules easier to understand and apply for golfers at all levels? And in order to do that, you need to be able to write a clear rule book that doesn't have to rely on necessarily a decisions book. So right now, for people that are familiar with it, I mean, we have a book that has 1,300 decisions, and those are little case studies. So they're very fact-based. This happened. Here's the answer. And there are a lot of scenarios where you can't get the answer just by reading the rule. You actually have to go into the decisions book. And, you know, in our world, we call those hidden rules. And that's just not right, especially in a game where, you know, it's all self-policed. And for the most part, when we're out playing on the weekend, we don't have a referee around. We're on the golf course with our buddies. We want to apply the rules. If we have a question, maybe we ask the professional at the end. But ultimately, it's our responsibility to apply the rules ourselves. So we really wanted to set out to do that. And the first step in the process was actually, we built the rule book up. So we went in and we found approximately 300 instances of what we call those hidden rules, and we wrote those directly into the rule book. So before we ever tried to shave anything down, we actually built the pages up. And then from there, you know, we took that jigsaw puzzle apart, reworked a number of the outcomes, and then put it all back together. So it was a fascinating process. Again, very satisfying, and it's great to be able to share with the world what the outcomes are for next year.
Thomas Pagel joining us here on Real Golf Radio. Yeah, I was, when Bob asked the question about the decisions book, I was thinking the move would be just to burn those things. But let's just
they'll still be they'll still be interpretive guidance for committees moving forward. So I mean, we also recognize that, you know, the golf professionals behind the counters or the administrators running tournaments, they're going to have questions, and they're going to need to know, how to apply the rules in certain instances, but it's going to be far less fact-based, and it'll be more example-based and say, okay, if this happened, here's what the outcome would be. But at the end of the day, the committee will have the authority and the information to apply the rules correctly.
Here's some of the things that were brought up to me most during this review period throughout the last year as we played. It's how do you drop, you know, the new drop rule? Does it have to be shoulder length, knee high, down on the ground, whatever? I mean, there was a lot of discussion about that. There was a lot of discussion about putting with the flag stick in, and there's a lot of discussion about when, if you accidentally move the ball. So I want you to address those right there, and I think it's important to note that where if you accidentally move the ball, it's okay to replace it without penalty, and where it's not okay to replace it without penalty.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'll go in order there. So, I mean, the first one, the dropping procedure, I think this is actually it's a great example of how terrific the dialogue was with the feedback period. And first of all, I should step back and thank everybody that participated in that feedback period, because we had over 30,000 individuals from 102 countries jump in and provide comments, which is fantastic. I think it shows the level of interest and engagement across the game. But one of the things we heard a lot about was certainly the proposed drop that we announced last year, which was drop from any height, as long as it was above 2 inches. And so we said, okay, we can't really get to placing because there are some challenges there, and there's this desire for randomness when the ball leaves your hand. You're not necessarily assured the lie you're going to get. And so we said, let's strip away all the prescriptive devices and just say, get the ball on the ground. We don't care how you do it. Just do it from above 2 inches. But, you know, that brings some challenges with it as well. And we heard that loud and clear. And so one of the things that came as a result of the feedback period is now the new dropping procedure will be from knee height. So it goes back to provide a level of consistency, which was something that the golfers continued to tell us in that feedback period is, We agree it doesn't have to be from shoulder height. We like the fact that we're eliminating all the instances where you have to redrop. So the 9 times where the rules tell you have to redrop, that simply goes down to 1 now. And we say, get the ball in the relief area. If it jumps out of the relief area, drop again. But the drop from knee height provides that randomness, but it's a clear drop. And it'll be something that's simple for folks to do. And so we're excited about that. And you couple with that another discussion that we had with those 30,000 individuals was club lengths. And it's a little bit different, but it's very much part of the dropping procedure. And last year we had come out with a proposal to go to fixed lengths of 20 inches and 80 inches, depending on what type of relief you were taking. And it's funny, you know, a number of golfers either in person approached me or by email, and they'd say, I have 14 measuring sticks in my bag right now. Why do I have to carry a ruler on top of that? And so from a philosophical standpoint, we really like the idea of that consistent fixed measure. But we heard the golf community loud and clear. So come 2019, you're still going to use club lengths to measure your relief area, which we think is a real positive.
Yeah, Then as far as when you can replace a ball.
Yeah, so we've eliminated a lot of penalties for accidentally moving your ball. First one is when you're searching for the ball. And what I always tell people is, you know, you're searching for a ball. If anybody else moves it, you're okay. You just put it back. But if you or your caddy move it, you're going to be penalized. And so I actually had a situation with Kevin Na last year at the British Open where he hit his ball into a bush. And he asked me, he said, so what happens if I move it or my caddy moves it when I get in this bush? And I said, well, you're penalized. And he looked outside the ropes and he said, what if any of these people move it? And I said, well, there's no penalty. And so he stepped back and said, $20 to whoever finds my ball. And sure enough, his ball was found. But it's that sort of, is that necessary? And so now if you're searching for your ball, no longer a penalty if you move it. On the putting green, we know that you're going to be in close proximity to your ball. You're marking it, you're lifting it. Lots of accidental movement can occur. Before you are under the current rules, you're penalized. And we just said, you know what, that's not necessary. You know the spot where your ball was. You can easily get it back. And so now in the future, if you accidentally move your ball on the putting green, there'll no longer be a penalty. You just get it back in the spot and you move on. And this is actually a local rule that's available now, post Oakmont. This was a local rule that was put into effect. So it's available for clubs now, but come 2019, it'll be part of the rules.
All good stuff. Yeah. Man, I wish we had we need an hour with you, Thomas. We might have to do this again because we're coming up against a break. But really good stuff. Best thing you could do is go to usga.org and click on the rules, modernizing the rules, simplifying the rules. And I think you guys have done some great changes, and it discusses all these major changes. Real quickly, though, before I let you go, your take on the change in the U.S. Open playoff system going from 18 holes the next day to the – two-hole playoff that you're now going to have following the U.S. Open?
Yeah, you know, that's a tough one because there have been so many great playoffs that have come from the 18-hole format. But at the end of the day, we also know that people like to see things concluded on the Sunday. So I think that objective is a good one. I think it's still going to provide for some great drama when we crown our national champion. So at the end of the day, it's a good change. Change is tough for folks. I get it. But this will really help us crown that champion again on the Sunday.
And the two holes meaning, so it's not just one stroke. You can recover, right, from one bad swing?
That was exactly the thought. A sudden death playoff, I mean, always thrilling, but you make one bad swing and you're out of it. This at least keeps you in the game a little bit, keeps that drama going.
There you go. That was Thomas Pagel from earlier this year talking about these new proposed rules changes. We're going to go through the ones that you need to be aware of and the ones that you're going to want to start acclimating to come 2019. We'll go through all of those coming up here in just a couple of minutes after a short break. And we'll also update you on the latest news and notes before we clear the show as well. No caddy this week. Normally he'd be joining us right now. But again, due to the technical issues, I suppose, with the phone lines, we're not able to connect with our guest today, but we'll have a guest-heavy show coming up next week for you, including Johnny Miller, the caddy, Dave Neville from Callaway Golf, and more. Stay tuned, and thanks for joining us here on Real Golf Radio. So you've thought about LASIK surgery, but you're hesitant. I get it. It's your eyes, and while it's a hassle to deal with contacts and glasses, the thought of a laser in your eye sounds painful and scary. Well, let me tell you, I had the same feelings until I went to Hoops Vision for my free evaluation. I was super impressed with the time they spent, and they put all my concerns to rest. I left excited and confident knowing that I was in the best hands with the latest technology. The day of the surgery was easy. No pain, comfortable massage chairs, and warm chocolate chip cookies to help me relax. And then the miracle. Within a few minutes, I could see. It's an amazing feeling, and now I can see where my golf ball goes, and I enjoy wearing sunglasses and not dealing with contacts that dry up out in the sun and the wind. It's why major champions like Mike Weir chose Hoops Vision. Hoops Vision is world-renowned, and with new techniques such as smile and camera, there are more options than ever before. Visit HoopsVision.com today and schedule your free consultation. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you could save $1,000 off your procedure. More choices, more experience, better vision at Hoops Vision.
And here's Ricky on 12. What a comeback it's been for him today. Pin placement is a little tricky. We're seeing something. Something is getting closer. Holy.
What the?
And that'll cost him.
It can be dangerous to drive while distracted. Yet at any daytime moment, almost 660,000 drivers across the country are using electronic devices while they drive. Join me and commit to always driving distraction-free.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
You can tell a lot about a golfer by the way he sets his hands on the club. Is he squeezing the life out of it, or is it like he's cradling a newborn baby? Holding it light so he can feel the club head eliminates tension, increases swing speed, and improves accuracy. These are the things our grips promote. Because the secret to golf isn't how you put your hands on the club, it's the way you put your hands on a wind grip. Win. Play your best golf.
When Callaway first equipped their drivers with jailbreak technology, they completely changed the game. A new bar for ball speed had been set, and golfers everywhere started to take notice. So what, you think they were just going to call it a day? Not a chance. Nope, they took their most epic technology and went rogue. The new Rogue driver has taken jailbreak distance and made it more forgiving than ever. The new jailbreak bars are lighter and stronger, which allows Rogue to redistribute its weight throughout the head. When you have a reshaped, more forgiving head, well, you get more forgiveness. Forgiveness you didn't even think was possible out of a driver that fast. No more playing it safe, folks. Tight fairway? Bomb it anyway. Water in play? Clear it. That's the power of the jailbreak effect. And that's why Callaway is the number one driver in golf. You're either playing it or you're leaving yards on the table. Go rogue with Callaway. Get the details now at CallawayGolf.com. Callaway, the number one driver in golf.
You're listening to Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, talking golf since Jordan Spieth was in first grade.
You started it.
That's Real Golf Radio.
All right, welcome back to Real Golf Radio. Brian and Bob with you. Thanks for joining us. Website, realgolfradio.com. Twitter handle is at Real Golf. All right, Bob. 2019 is not too far away. We're going to start looking at new rules changes going into effect on the first of the year. We heard from Thomas Pagel. We talked about a couple of the main things. I think most guys are going to... the biggest effect to me feels like the drop.
Yeah.
You know, so back in the day, see the old over-the-shoulder... I'm sure your dad did over-shoulder
My
drops.
My dad did over-the-shoulder, yes.
Did you ever do any?
Yes.
You did do some over-the-shoulder ones?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
All right, I don't remember that. But then you got the shoulder high.
Then you got shoulder height.
And now we're
now it's knee height.
Knee high.
Correct.
Head, shoulders, knees, and toes.
Yep.
Drop the ball.
Where it goes.
All right. We've obviously been here way too early in the morning for that one.
So that was pretty good.
That was
okay. So a golf ball at rest. So on the putting green, or if you're so he was talking about Kevin Na at the British Open.
Yeah.
How he was searching for his golf ball and he thought it was in a bush, and if he were to go in there and accidentally move it, it would have been a two-shot penalty. But if the crowd accidentally moves it, it's no penalty. Now it's no penalty whatsoever, player or anybody, in searching for a golf ball. Okay.
Which makes sense, because if you're walking through high grass, for instance, and your caddy finds the ball by stepping on it, then you're penalized.
Yep.
But if spectator Joe steps on it and finds it, not penalized, that doesn't make any sense. Let's just find it and move on.
Player accidentally moves his or her ball or ball marker on a putting green, no penalty.
Just replace it.
Just replace it.
Okay.
Okay.
So you're bending down to put the mark down behind the ball, and it hits the ball, and the ball rolls or whatever.
Correct. Player's ball in motion accidentally hits the player or his caddy or the flag stick or whatever. No penalty.
Jeff Maggart would like to have this one back.
Yep.
When, I believe, was it Weirzy's year, 2003?
Yes, that's correct.
At the Masters, and he was in on the third hole, fairway bunker.
Fairway bunker.
Hits the lip, bounces back, hits him, falls in the bunker.
Yep.
Two-shot penalty.
Yep. Double hit, no penalty.
What?
Yep.
TC Chen just went crazy.
It's just the one shot.
The old two-chip TC, cost him a U.S. Open.
Okay,
wasn't it U.S. Open? Yeah.
Yes.
A Pebble Beach, right?
Andy North won. No.
No, not Pebble Beach.
It wasn't Pebble Beach.
Okay.
Measuring distances for relief, for hazards, relief.
Yeah.
One club length again for free relief, two club lengths for anything that is penalty.
That's easy to remember. So. You know what? This was going to get complicated. The 20 inches and the 80 inches.
Yes.
That was, so I can see everybody's now going to be carrying like an alignment stick.
Yeah.
And they'd have to put the 20 inch mark and the 80 inch mark. And then, so you'd be out there and then you'd literally have to put a tee down to make sure right at that 20 inch mark. I mean, it would just be like, what are we going to do? If someone thinks they had a wrong drop, are they going to buzz the radio review like they do? And they're going to send them over there with their measuring stick and see if it's,
you did 24 inches, not 18.
It went 20 and a half inches. You're outside the 20 inch.
Yeah.
20 and a quarter inches. Do you see what I mean?
So, and we're used to the 1 and 2 club lengths, so that's why they...
And I thought those that shared their comments with him by saying, hey, Thomas, I'm carrying 14 measuring devices in my bag already. Don't make me put another one in.
Perfect.
And the fact that they heard it loud and clear, as he said, and they adopted it, good for them.
Okay. As we talked about just a second ago, knee height for a player when they're in a standing position, it's knee height.
How are you going to drop that? Let's stop before you move on. How are you going to drop it? Because think about it. If you just took your step out and you just dropped it, just tossed it like you were just chucking it, like just throwing it out there, like
it has to be dropped straight down.
Palm up. You could just toss it.
You can't now.
You can.
No, you can't.
Why couldn't you?
Because it says the ball must be dropped straight down from knee height.
It does say straight down?
Straight down.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. That's what I wanted to know.
Because
that looks more professional than just tossing it.
Yeah.
I don't know why you couldn't.
Right.
It's above the knee and within the club length.
Yep. But it says straight down.
Okay.
A ball that you're searching for, whether it's lost or whatever, 3 minutes now instead of 5 is the difference. Okay. Anytime you take a drop, you can substitute in a new ball when you're taking relief.
Oh.
Okay. So you have the option to.
Did you not? I guess you had to play it all the way through.
Yeah, you had to play your ball. Yeah. Embedded balls in their own pitch mark is anywhere in the general area, which means that's the new term for through the green. So anywhere. Oh. Okay. You can, unless there's a local rule. Replacing a ball on the putting green when it moves from its spot after already have been lifted and replaced. That is, you just replace it to its original spot.
Always. Yeah, I remember Thomas explaining, look, we reviewed this, and you've already earned that spot on the green.
Mm-hmm.
So by hitting your shot, you've earned that position.
Yes.
So once you've marked it,
mm-hmm.
you picked it up, you go back, you put it down, take your mark off, you step back to take one last look at it, the wind blows or the ball starts, you just put it back.
Yep.
You don't get penalized if it rolls away 30
So Dustin Johnson at the U.S. Open at Oakmont, when he ended up winning, he was on that green. That was that big mess up with the rules and everything. He was on that green. He did not cause that. He basically termed he did not. He earned that spot. That ball would just go back to where it was, and he would go from there. Repairing damage on a putting green. You can repair almost any damage, including spike marks, animal damage, but not including natural imperfections on the putting green.
Wait, but not including?
Yep. That's what it says.
But not including natural?
It says it says a player may only repair ball marks or old hole plugs in the putting green. Can't do spike marks. Now you can do spike marks.
Or deer prints or whatever, right?
Yep.
Which is a good thing, by the way, because it's especially when you're just playing around. I've had this happen where you're playing around with some guys. And which I guess, look, hey, good for them. It's playing by the rules, but... It's a non-tournament round. You're just playing. Hey, is this a ball mark or is this a spike mark? I don't care. Doesn't matter. If it's bugging you, fix it, man.
Just... Even in tournament rounds, it doesn't matter anymore.
Right, which is good. But so. I'm saying even today, it's one of those unnecessary things. Like, just fix it. If it's bugging you, fix it and move on.
So let's say you're playing in a tournament and you would hit the ball to kind of on a putt to get it up there kind of to speed up play. And it were to hit the flag stick, that was a penalty before. No penalty now for an unattended flag stick.
So you leave the flag in, and they're basically, I think they did some percentages on making from long distances, and you have a less than 10% chance of making the putt, and they don't think the flag stick's going to have much to do with it. So go ahead and leave it in. And it saves the idea of walking all the way up, someone tending the flag or taking it out, walking all the way back, putting, just knock it up there. If it goes in, great. If it doesn't, tap it in, move on.
Right. So penalty
which
areas.
Which I can't imagine. Sorry, before you move on. Okay. I can't imagine anyone wanting to leave the flag stick in intentionally.
Right.
I mean, are you going to be up there with a little 3-footer and you're going to say, no, leave that in there?
Yeah.
And try to bang it off the back of the stick or something?
Uh-uh. They're just trying to speed up the play. And if a guy goes onto a putting green and he's got a 60-footer and he hits a putt and it runs up there and it hits the flag and doesn't go in, or let's say it hits it and it's going pretty good and it bounces off or whatever, there's no penalty anymore. Either it used to be that you either had to take it out or have somebody tend it when you were on the green.
Right.
Doesn't matter now.
But people would say, would you putt with the flag stick in? That's the big thing. So wait, you're saying we can putt with the flag stick in?
Yeah.
Like this is some great new advantage? I don't think there's an advantage.
No.
Do you see that there's any advantage to putting with the flag stick?
No.
You just mentioned if you hit a 80-foot putt that's screaming across the green and it hits the flag and stops within 5 feet of the hole, I guess that was an advantage.
Right.
When it otherwise would have rolled
out.
But
how often are you going to hit the flag at that point? I can remember Seve Ballesteros. His brother Manuel was caddying for him. And Seve used to have Manuel tend the flag stick on putts that were between 10 and 12 feet, 15 feet.
10 and 12 feet?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
They're that close?
Yep, they were that close. I can remember that to this day.
Well, I wonder what his strategy was.
I don't know. Maybe it helped him figure out alignment by his brother standing there holding the flag. He was able to get more of a figure on alignment if it was a putt that broke right to left or left to right or whatever. His brother would stand on that side of the hole and stuff, and you know, he might be 2 inches off the cup or 5 inches off the cup. It just helped him align it. I don't know.
So you think his caddy was providing alignment?
I don't know.
Because that's not legal, right?
You can have it tended.
Yeah.
Now and now you can touch, like if you're playing with me and we're playing the best ball and you go up where do you think it's going to break from? You can go up and touch the green now and show them where it's going to break from, where before you couldn't touch the surface.
Oh, is that part of this new rules too?
But now you can.
Okay. Yep.
Loose impediments in penalty areas like bunkers and stuff, you can move those. No penalty.
Okay, that's a big one.
Yeah.
So you're in a bunker.
It used to be a two-stroke penalty. Yep.
So you can, if you've got a rock right behind your ball, if you've got a pine cone in there,
yep,
or something like that, it's too bad. You're in a hazard, right?
Well, especially rocks or pebbles or something like that behind your ball. Now you can remove them. Yep.
That's pretty cool. And not only just bunkers, but they're not calling them water hazards anymore, right? What's everything called?
Penalty areas.
Penalty areas. So any penalty area as well, right?
Yep. Correct. If you accidentally touch the surface in a penalty area now, like on a backswing or something like that, no penalty.
So as you're taking so this goes back to the Women's U.S. Open.
Yes.
At Cordoval.
Mm-hmm.
If you on your takeaway, if you inadvertently nick a little bit of the sand, there's no penalty for that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So in a bunker now, if you have an unplayable lie in a bunker, or if you have a playable lie in a bunker. But you don't want to hit it. You can drop it outside the bunker, two-shot penalty. Now.
So if you are a 20 handicapper and you just absolutely hate bunker shots and you don't want any part of hitting out of the sand, it was sort of too bad before. Now, hey, go ahead and drop it. It's two-shot penalty, but you can drop it and play it from the grass. That's pretty cool.
Also, if you have a damaged club, you know, before you couldn't play with it at all, you can keep that damaged club in play, no matter the nature or the cause of the damage, even if a player damaged it in anger.
I love this rule. Because you'd have guys get ticked, they'd slam their club, it'd bend the head, and now they can't play it. They don't have a 7-iron or whatever for the rest of the round.
Yeah.
So now they're going to go out there. I can't wait to watch guys swing crooked 7-irons and stuff, or putt with bent putters that are half intact. That is going to be awesome. They're going to have to manipulate their stance, their swing, to try to hit this shot.
Yeah.
They probably aren't going to hit it anyway, but it would be funny to see a guy out there with a putter that was bent over the shape of his knee.
You can replace damaged clubs. You may not replace damaged clubs unless the player was not responsible for the damage.
Oh, okay.
So let's say your club's there and somebody rolls over and it bends the shaft or whatever.
Or if the head just flies off in the course of a regular swing, you can have it replaced. Yeah. But if the fit of anger, you can't replace the club?
Correct.
You have to play the damaged club or whatever.
Or not play it, yeah.
Right.
The use of distance measuring devices is allowed unless a local rule has been adopted prohibiting their use. So.
Okay.
No caddy standing behind a player.
To line him up. That's
caddy mostly LPGA. Caddy can lift and clean and replace the ball on the putting green even if the player told him not to.
We'll finish it next.
Hi, Rick Tittle here. You may know me as the sports talk host. I can talk about all sports: football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, rollerball. But this time I'm here to talk about pain. If you have pain in your knee or your back like I do, then you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. If Medicare is your primary insurance, then you could qualify for a back or knee brace at little or no charge. I have an old injury from my football playing days. And anything that can help take that pain away and make it more manageable, that has my attention. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for back, ankle, knee, or shoulder pain, please call the Health Alert Hotline at 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570. Agents are standing by 24/7, so go ahead and call now. 800-428-1570.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them, but do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family, or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Now back to Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to the show. Wrapping up this rules discussion, and it's been an interesting one. Again, these rules go into effect January 1, 2019, so just a couple of months away. And yes, a good friend of mine, Dr. Hoops, of course, saying, look, love the new rules, but how can you leave out the divot and the fairway rule? Worst rule in golf. I agree.
That's what you said.
I agree. I bring it up to Thomas every single time. You know what I think? They know it, but they're going to keep that little ace in the hole for when things get really bad. If they really screw up a U.S.
Yeah,
Open
yeah.
or something and they're just getting some serious heat, they're going to come out with the, all right, no more penalty in the fairway if you hit it in a divot. And they'll be like, yay, we love the USGA. So they got to hang that. They got to keep that card.
Yeah. Here's another one. Playing out of turn is no longer a penalty in ready golf. They want you to play ready golf.
Well, it's never been a penalty in stroke play. It was only a penalty in match play. And it's not even a penalty, right? It was just
in match play, they could have you replay the shot.
They could have you replay it,
yeah.
But it's not. But when was it a penalty? It wasn't a penalty in stroke play, was it?
Yeah, all it says is pace of play, playing out of turn in stroke play, no penalty. Hmm. As today, and ready golf is encouraged. So.
Okay.
Let me see.
Just be careful when you...
That's about it.
Just be careful who you step out in front of when they're about to hit.
Yeah, they're not going to use video review anymore as far as dropping spots or points or lines or areas of judgment. Players' reasonable judgment will not be second-guessed based on later evidence such as video review.
Well, there was that one thing with Tiger over in, where was it, South Africa or something, where he gave a ruling to somebody or somebody gave him a ruling and
right.
he dropped out of that bush or whatever and that where his intended line was and... I think it was he and Keimer or something like that. Remember that a few years ago?
I don't remember.
Anyway, so I think that's what they're saying. If the players figure it out on the golf course,
yeah.
you don't need to go back and study it and give
right.
aerials and line
right.
them up and
right.
just move on.
So there's a bunch of changes. But
all good things, I
all
think.
All good stuff.
All right. Thanks to Dave, Bob, and Brian. We'll see you. Thanks for joining us each week right here on Real Golf Radio.
Thanks for listening to Brian and Bob on Real Golf Radio. Join us on Twitter at Real Golf or on our website at realgolfradio.com.
It's been real.